Greetings, Parish Orphans and Retrogrades. Timothy Gordon coming before you today to say a couple things that I don't normally say, but the first and most important aspect of what I have to say involves Pope Francis firing back at EWTN, and when he fires back at EWTN, in veiled terms, he's really firing back at some particular personalities at EWTN in even more implicit terms. I'm going to talk about that today, why it's silly, how we know that he's specifying EWTN, how very thinly, thin-veiled critiques against a very fair-minded host on EWTN that's been utterly nobly, I'd say, fair with Pope Francis. And it shows that Pope Francis, in thin-veiled critiques, has quite thin skin himself. And he's employing a major trick of the left. So this is just going to be a quick show. What did he say? How do we know what he meant? And what's the nature of the basis for the counter-critique? Pope Francis saying, do not engage in sparlare, which is an Italian word meaning to badmouth. Well, we'll get to this in 1 second. The other comment that I bring before you today, remark just as a man who, Parish Orphans and Retrogrades, my friends out there, I would make a kind of plea. Most of us nowadays feel very uncomfortable giving to the diocesan collection baskets, given what's going on. And I've brought before you the occasional noble other place for your dollars, because we're still called to help the church and we're still called to help the needy, namely the widows and orphans in our midst. I am distraught today and have been distraught for about the last 18 hours because just 18 hours ago or so, I learned that a childhood friend of mine who was a friend all throughout high school and college, I roomed with him my senior year of college, his name is Luke Truitt, died suddenly of a heart attack. He was in Costa Rica with his wife and two kids. They were temporarily transplanted there. His wife, Manali Truitt, is now left a widow there in Costa Rica. She did not have a job. She's going through a master's degree program. She's definitely going to have to work. They were not a Catholic family, but Luke was a raised Protestant Christian, and he was just a really, really amazing person. And I would invoke your charitable giving if you're willing to do so. There's a GoFundMe account for the Truitt family. And this is just really surprising. So none of my childhood group of friends, meaning middle school, high school, college, I had pretty much all the same group of friends, know tons about the etiology of this sudden health catastrophe. He was a very fit guy, was a very tough guy. And was a mixed martial arts champ and got several of the other guys in my group of friends into MMA. So he's in peak physical condition, had a sudden heart failure, heart issues. I don't know much more, and I don't want to mischaracterize anything because these GoFundMe fundraisers can be really finicky. So all I can tell you is if you have extra dollars because you haven't been giving to the strong box at church, you're worried about giving your money to Peter's Pence under this pontificate, which is understandable. Well, the widows and the orphans really need your help. This is an out of work widow who is now going to have to go back to work. She's a master's degree student there, as far as I know, still in Costa Rica where they're temporarily transplanted. So please, as far as you're willing, even giving $10, Parish Orphans and Retrogrades would make a big difference to my friend's widow and his two kids. So God bless you all, and please also pray. I prayed a full 150 bead rosary last night on, you know, the full Psalter of Mary, the full big rosary, immediately after I heard last night, right as I was starting to teach Aristotle's Ethics online on the Zoom course last night. Actually, right before I had to teach it, I heard this shocking news for a 42-year-old man he might have just turned 43, but he's in between my age and my older brother, his age. There's kind of a group of us that were friends that graduated in 99 and a group of us that graduated in 95. That was my older brother's group, and Luke was right in between us. And we just don't know what to do with it. So I didn't think I would have a friend passing away in my 40s. I thought maybe the earliest friend to die would be in my childhood friend group's, you know, passage through the 50s or maybe early 60s. God bless you and thank you. You know, that GoFundMe account is, as far as I know, still up on the screen. So if you would just even give 10 or 15 or 20 bucks to that, the Mahonty Truitt family care, they can really use your dollars and your prayers now. Pray for the soul of my friend Luke.
Do you want to spell it for people listening on podcasts?
Sure. It is Mohanty dash Truitt, Truitt, family for family care and expenses. I would be most appreciative if any of you guys, even if you have $2, anyone that listens to this, it goes a long way. I can tell you, crowdfunding does amazing things. Christians, one for another. I would really appreciate it. Okay, so I'm going to put that aside and try to do a normal show here. Look, guys, Parashorvins and Retrogrades, I've been in the midst of doing this show, Rules for Retrogrades, when I lost my job. You can still go look at that moment. And that was a pre-recorded show before we went live on Rules for Retrogrades. I was with Henry Davis, a Black MAGA supporter, right when I found out on June 3rd, 2020, that I had lost my job. And you can go see the exact moment. You know, you can tell someone's talking to me. That's staff telling me you're done. And I was like, well, screw it. I'm going to go on with the show. And now, you know, I didn't get this tragic news of my friend Luke's passing on the air, but, you know, less than 24 hours from going on the air. And it's still shocking me. It's just really strange. So I really appreciate even going and giving $3, $7, $15, whatever you can give. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, Pope Francis. I am reading from America Mag. Because, you know, read trade in the enemy's mags in their information. It's an information wars age, and America Magazine is the best place. There's a couple key facts here. Like the reemergence of Antonio Spadaro, SJ, who used to be the Pope's right-hand man. We've talked the last 3 years about his diminution in the Francis pontificate. And that's an interesting fact. So he reemerges here. I'm going to read you the whole first half of this article from America Mag that broke just yesterday, September the 21st, 2021. It's called Pope Francis Responds to Attacks from EWTN, Other Church Critics. Quote, they are the work of the devil. Now this Pope Francis, before I start reading, he is really inclined to characterize all his enemies, who are generally speaking faithful Catholics, as those who sow the seeds of the devil, do the work of the devil. He was busting out this critique of his own critics a lot in 2018 and 2019 after strong evidence came to light vis-a-vis Carlo Maria Vigano, the good archbishop, that Pope Francis had, as a matter of fact, had a role in the McCarrick issue. Let's just say that. And he was saying, insinuating, I should say, that Vigano was doing the work of the devil. He's used that trope, I'd say, five times over the last 3 years. And he's very thin-skinned, as I said in opening. The America Magazine article opens thusly. When a Jesuit in Slovakia asked Pope Francis, "How are you?" the Pope stunned them with his answer. "Still alive, even though some people wanted me to die." Bear in mind, he made a strange comment about Cardinal Burke, somewhat in this direction of travel, that would render him a hypocrite for bewailing those who he thinks wanted him to die, even though I haven't heard any published statements of any right-wingers in the church, any faithful Catholics, I should just say, that said they wanted him to die. He's speculating, whereas his comments about Cardinal Burke, go read them for yourselves. I was about to go online, go live about this 2 days ago because it was such a stark thing for a pope to say about one of the cardinals in his cardinalate, but I decided against it. It's more sparlare from Pope Francis, more trash-talking, back-talking. There were even meetings between prelates who thought the pope's condition was more serious than the official version. They were preparing for the conclave, Pope Francis said. Well, it's a serious deal. You took a long time to recover, Your Holiness. You did. That's the way that this works, you know. It's not about the man, it's about the office. So don't take this stuff personally. It's business, people thought. Many of them were your advocates and your friends. They thought that you were going to pass away because you took an unusually long amount of time to recover from your, what we were told by Vatican News, run-of-the-mill surgery. So don't take that personally. The statement was not the only striking piece of information given by the Pope during his conversation with 53 Jesuits from Slovakia. The group met at the Nunciature in Bratislava on September the 12th during the Pope's visit to the country. Antonio Spadaro, our old friend, who once subtweeted me. That was a great moment in the summer of 2017. I thought it was hilarious. I was en route to Florida. I think I might have been in Mississippi driving all the way from California with my family. And Spadaro subtweeted me for defending church militant against them or something like that. He is the editor-in-chief of the Jesuit magazine La Civiltà Cattolica, was present at the meeting and published the full transcript of the conversation today, which was yesterday. During the Q&A session, another Jesuit told Francis that in the Slovak church, quote, some even see you as heterodox. Well, yeah, yes. While others idealize you, the heterodox, that's not in there. We Jesuits try to overcome this division, end quote. He asked the Pope, how do you deal with people who look at you with suspicion? Pope Francis remarked, there is, for me, a large Catholic television channel that has no hesitation in continually speaking ill of the Pope. Francis said, I personally deserve attacks and insults because I am a sinner, but the church does not deserve them. They're the work, you guessed it, folks, of the devil. I have also said this to some of them. So I don't. He distinguishes between the man and the office. I deserve attacks, but the church does not deserve attacks. I'm not sure how he knows that attacks on his person aren't on him, Francis, and not the church as such. So, seems like he needs, more differentia there in order to tend to that distinction. Because I we'll get to who I think are the target of his counterattacks, and I think they are very, very careful, good journalists, excellent journalists, I'd even say. I'm going to talk a little bit about my high esteem for the journalist that I think he's talking about at EWTN in a minute. And he bothers, he troubles, unlike Francis, to distinguish very finely where he's critiquing and where he's not. The article continues, while Francis did not name the, quote, large Catholic television channel, in his answer, his remark, quote, I have also said this to some of them, offers a clue as to which station he was referring to. America Mag has learned from three different Vatican officials who asked for anonymity because they were not authorized to speak that the Pope touched on this same topic on his flight from Rome to Baghdad on March the 5th when he greeted each of the journalists on the flight. On that occasion, when the Pope reached EWTN's reporter and cameraman, one of them told him they were praying for him. He responded that maybe Mother Angelica, EWTN's founder, is in heaven praying for him, the cameraman, but that they, referring to the entire network, quote, should stop speaking badly about me, end quote. He used the Italian word sparlare, which means to badmouth, to say nasty things, or to speak ill of. America's Vatican correspondent was on the papal flight and learned this immediately after the visit to Iraq. Now, EWTN and its associated publications, namely the National Catholic Register, not to be confused with the National Catholic Reporter, and Catholic News Agency, along with its more than 500 radio affiliates, have been highly critical of Pope Francis. Well, duh. Yeah, because they're faithful Catholics. But they've never said anything, not one cross word, against the office of the pontificate. They are not schismatic in that regard. The National Catholic Register was one of two outlets that published the former nuncio to the United States and QAnon conspiracy theorist Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano's explosive 2018 testimony calling on the Pope to resign. I don't actually think he is a QAnon conspiracy theorist, but that's cute. Raymond Arroyo, the real subject, I think, of Francis's sword of Damocles, which hangs over his head. The host of EWTN's The World Over has interviewed many of Pope Francis's most fervent critics, including Archbishop Vigano, Trump advisor Steve Bannon, and Raymond Cardinal Burke. But Pope Francis told the Slovak Jesuits, it is not only a Catholic television channel that speaks badly about him. Quote, there are also clerics who make nasty comments about me, he said. I sometimes lose patience, especially when they make judgments without entering into a real dialogue. He wants a real dialogue. I can't do anything there. However, I go on without entering their world of ideas and fantasies. I don't want to enter it, and that's why I prefer to preach. Bear in mind, pair of orphans and retrogrades, this is the same pontiff that taught all of those with ears to hear directly the words coprophilia and coprophagia. In case you're listening to this podcast in a car or a room with small children, I won't tell you what coprophilia and coprophagia are if you don't know. But he literally taught me those terms. I had to go get out my dictionary because the Pontifex Maximus accused his enemies of being coprophiliacs, gross, and coprophagiacs, even grosser. Well, no, probably coprophilia is grosser. Go look them up. It's a laugh riot. And this is him slandering Sparlando, Pope Francis. Sta Sparlando. I mean, he is always trash-talking his opponents. He's a man of the left. This is what men of the left do. They attack relentlessly. He is a relentless attack artist. Remember, after Cardinal Burke, man of clearly, self-evidently holy equanimity, most deferently raised the dubia to enter into real dialogue with Pope Francis, which never went answered, Pope Francis was reportedly enraged. He keeled over for 9 or 10 minutes at Casa Santa Marta, and they thought he'd had a heart attack. They were eating dinner, and he screamed, I will have his red hat. I will have his red hat. And then shortly after he demoted him, there are so many instances of the hateful, really all but cursing, spiteful remarks and responses by this guy. Remember when he struck an Italian, a woman at the Vatican who was trying to get his attention? It looked kind of annoying the way she was grabbing him, but he struck her. He hit her. He hit her hand. This is not a man. What did he say? He's a sinner? Yes. Yes. Right? We don't believe in the impeccability of the Pope. And so I'd seek to know how Pope Francis bothers to distinguish between himself as a man and himself when he speaks on the office of the Pope, but we're not, I've never said, and I don't think it likely that I will ever say, this man should be divided from the papacy, right? I know some of you guys think that. That's fine. It's not, I don't think it's impossible, but I just don't think likely. And so it's interesting that he's dividing himself from the papacy and saying, it's okay to critique me, but not the office. Well, Your Holiness, these people are critiquing you. A man who's acting as a wicked prelate, as quoted in the Council of Trent, there can be such a thing, after all, can attain, you know, the bishopric of Rome, right? That seems to be what's happened. And to say so, as I've directly said, but the man Raymond Arroyo, who is the reason I watch EWTN, my friends. The very reason I watch EWTN. He's only ever insinuated it and asked Socratic lines of questions to the catalog of Francis opponents that were listed in this America Mag article and more with his friends, Father Murray and the good Robert Royal. These are just, they're called the Papal Posse. The three of them together, I think, are the real Papal Posse, Arroyo included. And they are always masterfully respectful when they talk about His Holiness. And yet they're not the type that dodge from the truth. Can I just tell you guys about the good work of Raymond Arroyo? Between October of 2015 and October 2015, that was some of the most professional, titillating, interesting, and non-fatuous journalism I've ever watched. Thursday night by Thursday night for basically the entire year, I had two friends, very holy guys, who would come over to my house on Thursday nights. Steph would make us tea, and the four of us, Steph and me and my two friends, would watch Arroyo's coverage between the first and the second October synods. I make many, many allusions to these. You know, the extraordinary synod on the family of 2014 to the ordinary synod on the family of 2015, because it was exciting stuff. And it was true stuff, and Arroyo never oversteps his bounds as a very good journalist, but one who's not afraid to ask direct Socratic questions. And I learned so much about the Francis Pontificate. People that watch this show will say, you know, like, Tim, how did you know Francis was acting like a wicked prelate, at the very least? As early as 2014, two answers. Raymond Arroyo on EWTN, together with the good work, the very goodly work of Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ed Penton. And the second answer is Steve Skojic's 1 Peter 5 from 2014 to 2015, when I read it religiously. Those were the two sources that woke me up as to this pontificate. That's how I was so, what people have called me prescient on Pope Francis. I was just moderately observant, reading 1 Peter 5 in 2014, 2015. I'm forever grateful to Steve and his team of writers, including Julia Maloney, from I believe that far back. And then Arroyo and Penton on EWTN. And I don't really see much other programming on EWTN that Francis could even be referring to. But note, this is a tactic of the left. It is one of the main tactics of the left in rules for retrogrades here. It is rule number one. Always be on offense. Now, anyone who knows sports well understands that sometimes always being on offense entails playing defense that is offensive. Other times it's playing offense that is defensive. But most often you play offense to give yourself psychological room, especially in a game like basketball. You get some extra points. To give yourself psychological room to go back and play good D. It gives you extra confidence to play really competent, aggressive D, because you're like, well, we're trading buckets at worst. If not, we're not only are we sitting on a 15-point lead, but I just expanded it last trip up the floor with that three I hit. So it gives you extra confidence. Always be on offense. Francis is doing that. Rule number one, he's a man of the left. He's arguably the leader of the globalist left now. And he's doing it excellently the way he does. He is being on constant offense by counterattacking Arroyo, by counterattacking EWTN. They offer him respectful dubia, like Cardinal, like the four cardinals led by Cardinal Burke. He ignores them. He says bad things about them. He offers the rude comments that I think he's fabricating by others. Remember at the beginning of this article, he made a very untoward two comments about Burke's recovery from COVID, Burke was very sick with it. And Francis made something that sounded, at the very best, flippant. And even insinuating that there's hypocrisy in Burke's worldview as it relates to beer bugs and Maxines and things. And he's saying that people did that to him. He's on record, the most important man in the world, right? The leader of the free world, making these comments about Burke that he's fabricating, or at least not substantiating, that others made about him, either in his imagination, or he's supposing it, or they made about him privately, but not in major publications the way he did about Burke. That's the key to understanding Francis, my friends. We can have wicked prelates. We can have prelates that gaslight. We can have prelates that say nasty things like coprophilia and coprophagia. We can have prelates that are in league in one way or another with Cardinal McCarrick. We can have a prelate of Rome, a bishop of Rome, that is in league with basically the global left. And what do? They effectively go out giving something of a stump speech against their own enemies. And because he holds the Petrine office, he can say, oh, these people are they're constantly giving way to invective. They're invidious. They're hateful. They're spiteful. They talk negatively. He's talking negatively the whole time. And he does it masterfully. Now, not so masterful that it fools me or you guys out there, but it fools most of the rest of the people. Did you know, Parish Orphans and Retrogrades, that what really goes on here between me and you and people that listen to right-wing Catholic commentary, it's pretty much an echo chamber. We might disagree about Beneplenism or some of you Sedevacantism or others, you know, the society, but that those are kind of fringy issues on their own. About all this cultural and political stuff, even within the church, ecclesial, cultural, and political stuff, we pretty much all agree on the big points, such that when we awake to hear comments like this from America Mag, or a typical reader of America Mag, supporting the Pope's thesis that he's a victim, his case that he's the victim, and that poor, beaten up, abused, sweet Cardinal Burke, or EWTN with its professional stable of reporters and commentators like Penton and Arroyo and Robert Royal, he must just be a contractor, and Father Murray. These guys are excellent. They're excellent at what they do. They're professional, they're sharp, they're witty, and they never cross the line. They never play the insinuated note. They never say the quiet part loud. They're the actual aggressors. Well, America Mag and its readers, and National Catholic Distorter and its readers, and even a lot of sort of witless Catholics who don't know, that just read their Yahoo News story on Pope Francis, they'll believe the master narrative that he just offered. It was covered by America Magazine. It's a trick of the left. It is trick number one from Rules for Retrogrades. But yes, we're only in this book. That's rule number one, written by my brother Dave. He's only reduplicating the rule by the radicals that they've perfected, always being on offense. We're trying to reduplicate it and to habituate that reduplication. Let's do like them. Let's always be on offense. Sun Tzu says, do what your enemy does where you can, morally speaking. We can't do all their tricks, but that's one we can do. So note it. Note it well. He is a seasoned pro at the invective, at giving nasty barbs to his enemies, at likening them to the devil, even though his first statement as Pope publicly was essentially tantamount to an inversion of Benedict's first statement as Pope. Benedict essentially said relativism is the gravest danger in the world, and Francis said, no, it's not that. It's this Marxian approach to economics. That's the main problem in the world. And then he said everyone should essentially be a relativist. Everyone's got their own view of good and evil. And he repeated that to his good friend Eugenio Scalfari. By the way, if you didn't see my show on Scalfari and Francis, that's, I think, one of the best shows I've ever done on this channel. It was good work. It was probably more effort before the show than a lot of the other ones, which is no small correlation. There's a a relationship between effort before the show and quality of the product. But go back and watch my Scafari show, which is the most recent or second most recent one I did. It's really good, and it will also remind you what a seasoned vet Francis is of the invective against his hated enemies. EWTN, insofar as they have Penton and Arroyo and the papal posse, just God bless them. They taught me so much about this pontificate, and they've always done it in a professional way. So support them too if you can. I just would close up by asking you one more time, I'm sorry to do it twice, to maybe we can get the GoFundMe information for my childhood friend, middle school, high school, college friend, Luke Truitt, who died suddenly. If you're looking for a source for your dollars, it doesn't have to be $100 or $500. I'm talking $5. Please go to this GoFundMe account. My friend died suddenly. I learned this about 18 hours ago. He and his wife and two kids were living temporarily in Costa Rica. His wife was in a master's degree program. I think he was able to, you know, probably because of COVID, work remotely. I'm not exactly sure, so I don't want to commit to all of these facts, but he was on a hike, and this very fit guy, I don't know all of the details, but he's a very fit guy, very tough guy, had sudden fatal heart trouble on his hike. This happened 2 days ago. I only found out yesterday, and his wife is now left a widow. She's, as far as I know, currently jobless because she is a grad student. They have two kids, and they're really, really, really good non-Catholic people. And this is a good source, even if it's $5, $10, $15 for your crowdsourced monies. If you don't feel that you can morally contribute to your, you know, Susan from the parish council, Novus Ordo parish down the street because they're not treating the Eucharist reverently, I understand this is a good alternative for those dollars. My friend is Luke Truitt, and it is the Mohanty Truitt family GoFundMe for the purposes of family care and expenses. Mohanty is spelled Mohanty dash Truitt, Truitt family. I'm still rocked by this. All of my friends are too. We're not getting tons of info because Luke's parents flew to Costa Rica, and I've been fed some information by his brother, who I've also known since I was in middle school. Luke's a couple grades older than me, so I roomed with him my senior year of college. He went out to Rhode Island School of Design, very talented dude. He was back working in Dallas, where I was finishing up my senior year of college. And so he was a roommate to me, a college roommate to me. I mean, he was out of college. And we'd known each other since I was in middle school. He's between me and my older brother's age. It's kind of like in Stranger Things, right? There are kind of a few tiers of ages. Me and my buddies, who became friends with my older brother's buddies, we were separated by four grades. Luke was right in between us. And he hung out with the older guys when we were still middle schoolers, me and my buddies. But, you know, when the vergence in the force aligned when we were in later high school and we started hanging out with my brother and his buddies and all started playing music together, a bunch of us. Luke wasn't in the band. Then we all just were always hanging out. So I've known this guy since I was in 8th grade or 7th, maybe even. The 7th or 8th. And, you know, roomed with him and you know, the way you do with your childhood friends. I hadn't spoken to him super recently, but I speak to other members of the group, and this is just a shock. And his wife is in legitimate need, and you get the holy credit that's due when you help out widows and orphans. So please, please, if you're willing, do so. I still just can't believe it. My parish orphans and retrogrades. What a strange, strange time. I was talking to my cousin last night about how when you're getting off the phone with someone or you need a break in a convo, you used to go, good times, ironically. Now you just, me and my cousin, my female cousin, who I'm very close with, we'll kind of go, well, weird times. It's just weird times, my friends. And in these times, you keep your head on a swivel. You stay tough. You stay in the church. You stay holy. You keep your devotionals or double them. You keep praying and fasting. You keep the shining footpath. That's all there is. You stay on the BART. You hang tough. That's why toughness is one of the foremost Christian virtues. We'd forgotten it in the 90s and early 2000s when it seemed like being a Christian was dorky and being like Ned Flanders because we were fat, complacent, comfortable. Now we're getting uncomfortable, and the toughness, the coolness, the basedness of being a Christian is reemerging. The sublimity of the martyrs, of real red martyrs. God bless you. God bless Christians. We are the salt and the light, but we got to stay on the BART, my friends. God bless you all. Stay in the church. Deus vult.